Calhoun's, the restaurant down in Knoxville that had to apologize because they posted on their Twitter account that they received word from the management team that John Gruden was dining at the restaurant with Peyton Manning. They were wrong about that. John Gruden was nowhere near that restaurant, and it got everybody all fired up, and they had to apologize about it.
Epic fail, because John Gruden's all the way on the other side of the country up in Seattle getting ready for a Monday night football game.
Right, yeah, he was prepping for that, and he wasn't around whatsoever. So
come on, Calhoun.
Unless he really was there, and they said, listen, you have to apologize and say that I wasn't here, even though I really was, because we can't get this thing even hotter than it is.
Yeah.
Unless that happened. But
groomers.
The groomers.
And Peyton Manning was there because they celebrated a conference championship team that he was on back in the 90s. So he definitely could have been at Calhoun's, but Gruden, no.
Stacy's in Myrtle Beach on CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Stacy. What's happening?
Good morning, boss. How you doing?
Good, boss.
What's up, boss?
I just wanted to say, Brian, y'all got so daggone lucky Saturday that Will Greer got hurt.
That's
the only reason y'all won.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate that. We'll take luck. When you're sitting there trying to get to a bowl game, you will take luck any day of the week. And you're right. Will Greer goes down as he's trying to score there early in that ball game and ends up breaking his finger. It was nasty, Stacy.
We're still in a better bowl than y'all because you're still better than
I don't care. We beat you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Get some.
Yeah, we were bowl eligible last week, not like y'all were.
You're going to lose this week to Oklahoma.
No. If Greer's back,
Greer will not be back. He's going to have surgery on that finger, man. You're going to have Chaganoff on there, right?
Chaganoff. Oh, yeah, it's over.
He played all right. He just went up against a better defense. Our defense was better than yours.
No, hell.
And let me tell you this. Uh-huh. We were sitting here talking about these offensive linemen from my Cowboys. Having Connor Williams back for the Longhorns was such a huge difference. This guy's an All-American. He'll be a high draft pick at the next level. He was mean. He was nasty. And that's another reason your West Virginia Mountaineers went down.
Shouldn't have lost the first 7 points that Greer scored when he went out of bounds there.
He fumbled out of bounds. Through the end zone.
No, I think he fumbled before it went through the end zone. Uh-huh. I think he was out.
Okay, whatever.
You guys done?
Stacy? Yeah, you got lucky. Well, you just sit over there and stew over that loss.
Yeah. I am big time, definitely.
All right. Thanks, boss.
Yeah, all right, boss.
Jeez. That was a signature win, and Tom Herman there at Texas got a little emotional after the ball game because he's been saying, and he even said it to us, here you were doing some stuff down the way, G, when we had him on. He talked about winning one of those games you're not supposed to win. They're winning the ones they should win other than Maryland, but you got to win one you're not supposed to win. They weren't picked to win that ball game going up to West Virginia, and they got a victory. So now they're bowl eligible, and that means a lot.
William in College Station next up on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, William?
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning, William.
Morning. Now, I had a question for Brian. What do you think about A&M and Texas in a bowl game? Do you want it to happen at all?
Oh, heck yeah. That'd be great. I'm all for them reviving the rivalry with Texas A&M. And Coach Herman is on record as saying, yes, that would be cool. And there are others there at the University of Texas. I think President Finvest has said it as well. So, yes, bring back that rivalry. And if it's in a bowl game, that's even better. I'm hearing Texas may go to a bowl, Camping World Bowl in Orlando. And I don't know as far as the allegiance with that bowl, what the SEC whether or not they're aligned with that bowl or not. But you got Texas A&M sitting there at 7-4, a win on the road at Ole Miss this past weekend, and Texas is 6-5. So we'll see. But yeah, I'm all for it, man. That'd be cool.
Yeah, I don't know if I wanted to come back in a lesser bowl game or something on a bigger stage, or if it's just worth it to get it back on the field, because I want to see the game back.
Yeah.
But I don't know when. I guess I can't be picky and choosy about it. Just get the game back on the field and let's go.
Yeah, I'm all for that. I wish they would revive that rivalry. That's a great one. Thanks, man.
I'm trying to find the affiliations here of the Camping World.
It's the Big 12 and that's all I know. Camping World Bowl.
ACC.
ACC. Oh, okay.
Yep. Mm,
so it may be Vatek or let's see who else is be bowl eligible there in the ACC. We know Miami and Clemson will be in bigger bowls, maybe in the playoffs. But Vatek, slim pickings? Is it slim pickings?
I think it's sort of
after
slim.
Miami and Clemson is pretty slim.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Orlando. Oh, maybe Virginia, right. Virginia is they're bowl eligible for the first time since 2010, 2011. So maybe it'll be Virginia.
Have fun.
That'd be a good one.
Would it?
Come on. Virginia's tough. Banker, come on, man. Almost had Miami last weekend. Wow. I bet people were sitting
I'll
up.
I'll tell you, man, how far your program has fallen.
Oh, we've fallen. Yeah. The bottom, dog.
I mean, think about it.
We're just happy we're bowl eligible.
You're sitting here fired up about the Camping World Bowl in Orlando against Virginia.
I'm fired up about it. You, that's all I got.
Wow.
Yes. We've hit
what
rock
has happened
bottom.
To you?
Texas.
Yeah,
that's
I guess
what's
so.
Happened to me. Five and seven seasons. That's what's happened to me.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yep.
855-212-4CBS. Daniel in Boise joins us on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, Daniel?
Not much. How you guys doing?
Good morning. What's up?
I was just wanting to know what your guys' thoughts were on Boise State and they pretty much got an attaboy here at the end of the season getting back into the polls, even though they completely shut down San Diego State and Donnell Pumphrey. They were number 19 then. I understand that we had the heartbreaking loss with Washington State and all, and Virginia, but both those losses don't look as bad as they used to, but I just want to know your guys' thoughts.
And as for Rashad Penny, you mentioned, were trying to mention, not Donnell Pumphrey. He's now in the NFL. But sorry. Penny, yeah. I'm surprised Boise turned things around in the manner in which they have. You're correct, Daniel. They have quietly gone on and had an exceptional season, sitting there at 9-2. They beat Air Force this past weekend. Brian Harsin, great job. There were some rumblings there. Maybe he's not the guy, and his team is not going to be as good as the past teams we've had up here. But he's kicked butt. His team has kicked butt. So kudos to them.
Yeah.
All right, Daniel. Glad I left you on there.
Well,
there you go.
Yeah, boss.
He needed that. You fed him the positivity, mm-hmm. and that was that. All right, so let's talk more about what Michigan ended up doing to – or Wisconsin ended up doing to Michigan, also because I picked that one correctly. You know, I still feel the same way about Michigan even after – I mean, why do I keep saying that? Same way about Wisconsin, even after the win over Michigan. There were two throws there by Hornibrook that made me encouraged.
Mm-hmm.
There was one that was down the sideline, and then that touchdown pass where he really fitted in there. But it was on the same drive. But there's still just like this lack of confidence in him to continue to do that. Just based on the fact that he always throws an interception, and also just watching him. I mean, when those two throws happened, the ones I just referenced, I mean, it was like shocking that they happened.
Yeah.
And that shouldn't be the case with a team that has this type of opportunity in front of them.
Yeah.
So when I now think about projecting, they got Minnesota this week.
Oof, and Northwestern put it on Minnesota. I didn't.
Yeah.
We have what we call a nail biter. I thought that, and that's a close contest, and I thought that would be a nail biter. Ugh.
Yeah.
Nah. Northwestern did all the biting.
But, you know, with Ohio State in a championship game against Wisconsin, I still don't, there's just not enough there for me to want to believe.
Yeah. The defense is there. This is a bona fide, great defense that Jim Leonard has filled there at Wisconsin. They were at it again, knocking Brandon Peters out of the ball game. Michigan moved the ball at times, and Peters, speaking of fumbles, the big one there in the Texas-West Virginia game, it was a big one in the Michigan-Wisconsin game early on where Brandon Peters, third and goal, and I don't know what the heck he was trying to do, but he wasn't going to get to the goal line. He ends up fumbling. Wisconsin recovers, so no points for Michigan at that point. So they had a lead there, you know, early third quarter or mid-third quarter and just couldn't hold on to it. And Hornibrook, and I said this on the set Saturday, he's like that clip from the movie Dumb and Dumber. You know, just when I couldn't possibly think you could do something stupider, you go and redeem yourself. And that's Honeybrook for you. He throws a pick in the ball game, and yet he gets a 24-yard touchdown pass to A.J. Taylor. And it was a beautiful pass over the underneath coverage and right before you, the safety could get there. So somehow he finds a way to make a play, but he still doesn't have gaudy numbers, 9 of 19, 143, but he had that beautiful touchdown pass, and he finds a way in the ball game to overcome his turnovers. The defense, they definitely keep you in the ball game. And that was a hell of a slugfest early on, and early on and throughout that third quarter until that touchdown pass, and that's when they really took it to Michigan. They did that end-around play once again with Kendrick Pryor, the same play that worked against Iowa, worked against Michigan, and it was over by then.
Yeah, and I did a Twitter search on Saturday at Hornibrook after the interception, which was his eighth straight
right.
games
yep.
with an interception. Mm-hmm. I did a Twitter search now that I know that the backup is a guy that grew up, his family's like 10 miles away from me, named Jack Cohen. So I did C-O-A-N, Jack Cohen. So I did the Twitter search. I mean, it's just like, I want Jack Cohn. Put Jack Cohn in there. How could Jack Cohn be any worse? I mean, that's what it was.
Yeah.
You know, what a dumb blank and throw. Put Jack Cohn in. It's time to put in Jack Cohn. Jack Cohn time, please.
Jack Cohn.
I mean, it was just over and over again. But I don't believe that Paul Chryst is going to do that unless it is totally desperate times. And if you heard him after the game in the interview, and like, people, it's funny to me because I interviewed him many, many times. And, like, they think that they can get something out of him with normal questions and smiling. It's not going to happen that way. Like, you're never going to – you got to ask him something interesting for him to actually give you an interesting answer. But what he said about Hornibrook is that, you know, he's been doing this. He was defending him there. Mm-hmm. He went out of his mm-hmm. way to defend him, saying that the guy's been good all year. You know, we've had his back, all these things. So, I mean, unless they're down, he throws three picks and a half, and they're down 21 points, and their entire road to a championship is on the line in that Big Ten championship game. I mean, I think it's going to be Hornibrook the entire time.
I agree. I think it's going to be Hornibrook as well. He's thrown 12 interceptions in Big Ten play, but somehow they overcome it. They were down once again. It was actually late third, about 3 minutes left when he hit that touchdown pass to Taylor. And they still have yet, along with UCF, to trail in the fourth quarter. The only two teams in the nation that haven't trailed in that period. So and I think Alabama's in that number as well. But, no, they trailed versus Mississippi State. But, you know, somehow they overcome that, and they're able to – he stubs his toe, and then he'll come back, and he'll – throw a beautiful pass, make a play that they need at that moment, and it helps when you have a running back like Jonathan Taylor, this freshman, what a beast he is, and just having an incredible season. And defensively, they're just nails on that side of the ball. Man, watching them play, it's fun. They just swarm you, and it helps also when you have a punt team, Michigan's punt team. They don't down the damn ball and allow Nick Nelson to pick it up and run for a score. That was just idiotic on Michigan's part. Just gave away a touchdown.
Yeah, and other than that, not a lot of action.
Yeah, well, you nailed your Notre Dame Navy pick.
Yeah,
I thought Navy that
rain helped.
Yeah, that did help. I thought Notre Dame would be able to cover that 17 points, but Navy, yes, it's a difficult offense, but Navy had seen that offense before, see it each and every year, and I thought they'd have their better athletes would be able to overcome the fact that this is a triple option that gives people fits. But Navy played well, played tough, and Notre Dame got a big interception late in the ball game, and then they were able to stop Navy on down. So they bounced back, and I know they're still probably hurting from getting that beat down from Miami, but at least they bounced back.
James in Arizona on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, James?
Yeah, I got a question for you, Brian. Wisconsin beating Michigan, undefeated. Miami undefeated, pulling up the win, a tough win with Virginia. Is Oklahoma going to get jobbed on this next ranking, given what Baker did on the sideline?
I would hope they don't hold that against the team, since that's
they can't do that.
Well, yeah, that's one individual. I think they probably stay right where they are. Wisconsin, yeah, they beat a ranked team back to back weekends. Michigan was, I think, 22nd in last week's rankings. So does that help them? And the fact that Oklahoma was playing Kansas and really didn't post a great number. What was it, final 38-3 or something like that?
Yes. 41-3.
41-3.
41-3.
Yeah. So we'll see. I have no barometer on this committee this season. I don't know what the hell they're going to point to, you know, because they keep coming up with different thresholds. It's the defense, or it's how you played here versus, you know, a team on the road that hadn't won a game. Or I mean, they keep fostering these different levels of confusion. That's the way I see it, because they there's no real answer or rationale for how they're looking at these teams. You know, to fault Oklahoma on their defense, you're going to say, well, they played defense this week, they only gave up 3 points. Well, it was Kansas they were playing, okay, but you say they don't play defense, they held Kansas to 3 points, and then you'll say another team, they because their quarterback was injured, we're not going to hold that against them that they didn't play so well. That's what they're saying about Clemson and their loss to Syracuse. Oh, it wasn't a bad loss. You know what? There are no good losses, but if you lose a close one, I could see you wanting to give a team a little credit for that. But you shouldn't lose to Syracuse. Syracuse is a bad football team. They looked even worse this week. They're bad.
Coming up next, I'll give you a sports update, and then A.J. Hawk's going to join us to talk some more college football. Keep right here.
This is Kevin from Youngstown, and every day I start my morning with listening to Gio and Jones in the morning.
Bogish is back, and he's got an update for us. What's happening, Andrew?
Guys on their way from Oakland to Las Vegas. The Raiders made a pit stop yesterday in Mexico City, falling 33-8 to the Patriots. Head coach Jack Del Rio, happy to call Oakland and Nevada home, but not south of the border.
They've done a nice job for us the last couple of years. If this was a road game, I'd enjoy it. Maybe we just stop making them our home games, we'll be fine.
Yesterday might have gone differently had Seth Roberts not gotten greedy and fumbled inside the New England 5 in the final seconds of the first half. The Pats recovered, promptly kicked a field goal, then scored a touchdown less than a minute after halftime to run away with the win. The Eagles left the Cowboys in the dust on Sunday Night Football, taking the second half 30-0. The game 37-9. Carson Wentz's team has won 8 straight.
I think it just shows we're resilient. You know, I think we knew coming into the locker room at halftime, we left a lot out there. You know, I think we knew that we were much better than that, and we just had to go execute. And I think it just shows that we have a lot of belief in each other, and we can get the job done.
Wentz with 2 touchdown passes. Dak Prescott a career-high 3 picks, and he lost a fumble that Philly returned for a touchdown. Bills rookie Nathan Peterman, the first QB since the merger in 1970 to throw 5 picks in the first half of a game, doing so in his first career start. The Chargers scored 37 points before halftime, beating Buffalo 54-24. The Bills have lost 3 straight. The Chiefs have dropped 4 of 5 after a 12-9 overtime loss at the Giants. New Orleans rallied past Washington 34-31 in OT. The Vikings handled the Rams 24-7. Tampa Bay a 30-20 win in Miami. And the Lions found themselves in a 17-7 hole in Chicago.
Stafford takes the direct snap, rolls right, sets, goes, got a man wide open inside the 5, into the end zone, touchdown Detroit Lions, Marvin Jones.
Oh, 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 oh.
Dan Miller lines radio.
I think Katy Perry's got to pretend like she thinks it's good.
Right.
That's the part. Yeah. I mean, there's no way she thought that was good.
That's whack.
I mean, she did it because he's an NFL guy, yep, and whatever. She can't say that you suck. But I mean, it's
just... doesn't suck, but it wasn't that great as they made it out to be.
Oh, 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 if you don't.
It's close to sucking.
No, I suck. That is not close to sucking.
Well, but you're not trying out for American Idol.
Oh, I mean, so on that scale, yeah, it's
right,
sucks.
Exactly. I mean, it's all relative, mm-hmm, to the scale, the suck scale. Anyway.
Detroit won that game, by the way. Yes. They stopped sucking, and they won 27-24 at Soldier Field. Finally, in Week 11, it's the Seahawks hosting the Falcons on Monday Night Football. NBA action last night. The Lakers topped the Nuggets 127-109 as Lonzo Ball posted his second triple-double, 11 points, 16 rebounds, and 11 assists. Steph Curry had 39 points before fouling out in the Warriors' 118-111 win in Brooklyn, and Detroit won in Minnesota 197. UCLA has fired football coach Jim Mora before the end of his 6th season. And West Virginia QB Will Grier was to have surgery yesterday afternoon for the gruesome broken right middle finger he suffered in Saturday's 28-14 loss to Texas.
Right.
How much did the Longhorns pay to go there and win that game?
Who'd they lose to?
Texas.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's what happens. Yeah. Alabama schedules Mercer and wins, and West Virginia thought doing the same with Texas.
What? Boy, see. Huh?
What?
You got to schedule you for surgery. Keep up.
That was a good line, see? It is in there. It is in there somewhere. It comes out occasionally. That was a good one. What? Well, I gave you a compliment.
Comes out all the time.
Okay.
Your toughness is better when you're dressed like a CPA, so maybe you should always dress like this.
Because you don't expect it, right?
Exactly. Yeah, it's more surprising. The Rangers, their 6th straight home win, 3-0 over Ottawa. The Flyers and Penguins will play at the Eagle Stadium in 2019, and Martin Truex Jr. is your NASCAR Cup champion.
All right, thanks, Bogus. Joining us right now, A.J. Hawk, college football analyst on Fox, 11-year NFL veteran. A.J., good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
Well, good morning, guys. How are you?
We're doing well, and let's talk some Big Ten football as Wisconsin remains undefeated. They take care of Michigan at home. I still have my concerns about them winning the Big Ten championship game and then moving on to the college football playoff. Is this a team that's good enough to win that Big Ten title game? You're right, Brian, with that Big Ten title game, and then get into the playoff.
I mean, right now they look like it, but you never really know, I guess, until they're truly tested. And I think that test is going to be in a couple of weeks in the Big Ten championship when they play Ohio State. The good thing for Wisconsin, I guess, if I'm sure they believe they are good enough to be in the college football playoffs, but they get the chance to prove it. If they can beat Ohio State, we know there's no real controversy. They're going to be in, and they get to test themselves.
As it stands right now, you think that is likely or not? You like Ohio State in that game? You like Wisconsin in that game?
I honestly have no idea. It depends on who shows up for sure on the Ohio State side of the ball. We don't know exactly week to week what you're getting when you watch Ohio State play. If it's Ohio State that we saw in the fourth quarter against Penn State, I like Ohio State. But if it's Ohio State, the team that showed up to play Iowa, I'm not sure that's going to be a rough one for them. So it's going to be a battle. I mean, this is like a true Big Ten test, no question. Wisconsin, Ohio State, especially how this Wisconsin team is old school. They've never changed. That's what I do respect about them. They've never tried to go to the spread offense. They've never tried to really try any of the newish type fads. They just stick to what works, and they're playing great football.
You played on some great defenses there at Ohio State. Where would you rank this Wisconsin defense?
That's a good question. I mean, they're up there, no question. They really are. And Jim Leonard, I know, is a D coordinator who I played against Jim. I know how great of a player he was, and I've seen some stuff and some stories they've done on him, and I love his attitude, and his guys really buy in. To judge them, you have to kind of see them again, like multiple games, I think, against elite teams. And we'll see that. Obviously, the Big Ten championship will be a huge test. And then if they do get in the playoffs and they can continue to have a very stout D, then yeah, they're up there with some of the greats.
Gio and Jones with A.J. Hawk across the country on CBS Sports Radio. What do you think about the committee thus far and how they've determined their top four teams? Are you in agreement with them most of the time or not?
There's always one or two that I maybe would shift around, I guess. I never really worry too much about the rankings. If I was a player, if I was a coach, you got to wait till everything kind of plays out, and you just want to be near that top four if you're one of those teams and realize that you'll make it. But I don't know. I mean, I'm with them, and I would have never taken Alabama out of the top spot. I'd keep Alabama number one all season. I know I heard you guys actually before I came on. You're talking about them with scheduling Mercer. I know that's a thing people have issue with, and I understand a bit. I was actually watching one of the Fox games that Gus Johnson and Joel Klatt called this week, and they popped up what happened during that day of all the teams. And who was it? Alabama played Mercer, and someone else in the SEC played one of the
Auburn. Auburn had ULM.
Well, I mean, okay. Clemson played the Citadel.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, and Joel Klatt just lost his mind on air. It was hilarious listening to him talk about, we got to do something about this. Are you kidding me? Late in the year, these teams, it was fun to hear him say that. But now I'm kind of with the committee. I'm not too far off. I don't think they've done anything crazy yet.
Now, take me through Michigan-Ohio State week, because I'm interested in this, those rivalry games. What's that like? And you've heard this your entire career. Each game is alike. There's no different. And you feel a difference, though, when it's a week like this, don't you?
Yeah, you definitely do when it's Ohio State, Michigan. It's like it's a whole week. It truly is. And even I grew up in Ohio, and I didn't know how big of a deal it was until I got to Ohio State. I knew. I grew up about an hour and a half away. But we had, like, Michigan week in elementary school where you're wearing a different Ohio State thing each week. And as each day builds, you get more excited to watch the game. But when you're at Ohio State, you're Sunday after you watch films 6 days before the game. So what they did just yesterday, you'll watch a film, you get your workout in, and you come out in the indoor facility, and the whole band is out there doing Script Ohio, and it's a tradition that all the players will go and kind of grab an instrument and fall in line, and you do the Script Ohio with the band. And every day there's something like that going on that runs deep with the history and tradition of that rivalry. And obviously Michigan isn't as good as they have been really sometimes in the past, but they're still good, and it's good to go up to Ann Arbor and get a win any way you can. So I know that's what Ohio State plans on doing.
Why do you think Ohio State's been so finicky? Can you put your finger on it?
I wish I could. Luckily, I get to see Urban Meyer every once in a while, and trust me, that's not one of the top questions I ask him. I mean, that's usually not
right. Why are you so inconsistent?
Hey, Coach, how you doing, Coach? Good to see you. Why? How come your team looks like two completely different teams this year at different times? I heard someone say that Ohio State is bipolar this year, and I don't know what the exact definition would be, but it's true. Like every week when you turn it on, you're like, okay, what team are we going to see today? You just hope that if you're an Ohio State fan and you're on the coaching staff, that they choose the right time to play those great games, and you hope they kind of got those bad ones out of the way.
Now, speaking of being finicky, Iowa, they put 55 on Ohio State, then they lose at Wisconsin, and they lose at home to Purdue. What is going on with the Hawkeyes? How do you fall apart like that after such a big win versus Ohio State?
That you're right. The Purdue one, really, that's one that you definitely have to question. Like, what is going on? And sometimes when I look at it, I see, especially calling some college games this year, I realize, like, hey, these are kids. These guys have a lot of stuff going on in their life, so 18 to 22-year-old kids. And a lot of times stuff off the field, whatever it may be, whether your tests, your finals you're taking, depending on how much time you got at the facility compared to your schoolwork, whatever, there's a lot going on in these young guys' brains. So who knows what you're going to get, I guess, week to week. And you kind of see it in the NFL, too. I mean, look at the NFL. We don't know who's who. Like, a couple teams are starting to separate themselves now, but from week to week, it's just really weird to see. Like, Kansas City Chiefs are 6-4 right now. They were setting the world on fire early this year. So it's kind of I guess that's what makes it fun to watch.
Gio and Jones with A.J. Hawk across the country on CBS Sports Radio. Speaking of the NFL, how painful is it for you to watch the Green Bay Packers just fade away with the injury to Aaron Rodgers?
I mean, I guess you're really getting a good chance to see how great Aaron really is, and I've been preaching that for years and years. I've seen it up close for so many years. What he does is absolutely special, and it's a tough thing for Brett Hundley to come in and try to even just play half as good as Aaron Rodgers because of what he has done over the years and how comfortable he feels in that offense. But yeah, to get shut out at home is not it's not a good look anytime. So for the Packers, I don't know. Their defense, they held up as long as they could, at least yesterday against the Ravens, and you just can't hang on forever. You got to find a way to score some points if you're that offense.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about the defense, Don Capers' defense. Is there any particular area that's lacking on that D?
I'd have to look exactly at their numbers. They would like to get after the quarterback a little bit more. I know Nick Perry has some good numbers, and Clay Matthews actually exited the game. He had a good sack and got hurt yesterday with a groin. Who knows how long he's out. I think, honestly, in their secondary, they've had to rotate so many guys in throughout last season and this season with injuries. I mean, last season, at one point, they have guys they're promoting off the practice squad at the week of a game, and all of a sudden they're thrown in, they're playing corner, covering number one receivers. So what they've had to try to make up for in injuries has been really tough. It's just been, at times, too much to handle. And then on top of that, you lose Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback. Like, what? Not only the points that he puts up and the time of possession, but just the mental. That has to kind of wear on that whole team mentally at some point, realizing that we're not getting Aaron back anytime soon, and we need to find a way to score some points.
Who do you think has the best defense in the NFL right now?
Wow. So I went on a I went on a radio show in Baltimore early this season after the Ravens, I think. Remember when the Ravens came out like gangbusters the first couple games? Their defense was on fire. I compared them to the 2000 Ravens with Ray Lewis, and then they gave up like 65 a day later. So I don't know if I'm judge that, but I love the Minnesota Vikings defense. I really do. Mike Zimmer, who was in Cincinnati, went to Minnesota, so I've got to play in that scheme a little bit. I was in Cincinnati for one season, and when you can, they kind of have, they've perfected that scheme that Mike Zimmer has, and they have his attitude. They go after the ball, they rush the passer, and they just, they play good tight D. So I really, really like Minnesota's defense.
Well, let's get into the weeds here. Walk me through the scheme, because he's more of a 4-3 guy, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. I'm pretty sure that's what they're still doing there. Yeah. It's a lot of like quarter. It's a lot of like combo coverages. Yeah. Usually they don't run a whole lot of exotic blitzes.
Right.
You don't see them try to really trick the offense, which is what I love as a defense. Like, hey, we're going to dictate to you what we want you to do. We're not going to let you dictate to us. And I always like that as a defensive guy, to where it doesn't matter how many guys and different personnel groupings they run on and off the field. We're going to stick with whatever defense we have in, whether it's like a nickel look with two inside backers, and they have two very good linebackers there. Mm-hmm. And they're going to try to get four-man pressure, and they're going to play tight coverage, mm-hmm. quarters, little cover two, mix it up here with some blitzes at good times, and they're going to take the ball away, and that's what they're doing at a very high level.
Gee, I love playing quarters coverage. You just four deep. Okay, it's zone, but you got some man principles in there, all right?
All right.
All right, someone comes to that zone, you latch on them.
Sounds
okay?
Good to me,
you
man.
Got it? All yeah. right, that's what we're running.
Latch on. I asked Frank Garcia, former Carolina Panther, about this because he still does, you know, covers their games. But, you know, when I watched Luke Kuechly, I used to watch him and say, man, this guy's just amazing because he flies around. He's one of the best linebackers in football. But now I watch him and I'm like, stop playing, man. You had too many concussions. Like, I'm worried about you. As a former linebacker, I'm assuming that you still love watching him play the position, but does that start to enter your mind a little bit more now, knowing what we know about concussions and players in their post-playing career having to deal with some of that stuff?
Yeah, it definitely does, and Luke is unbelievable. Like, I've been watching Luke play for a long time, and just he's so smart and dissects plays so quickly, and then he's everywhere. When you watch a game, he literally is everywhere, and I love his attitude, and he doesn't back down. He seems to be a bit crazy, which is fun to watch on the field. It gets to a point, it's like when you watch some guys, I'm a big MMA fan, and you watch some MMA fighters, say they get a little bit older, and then I'm not saying Luke's older, but I'm just in general. And it goes from a point to where, yes, I'm excited to watch this guy fight. I can't wait to, okay, I'm kind of worried going in. Like, I just hope he doesn't get knocked out and doesn't take another big shot to the head. And I feel that watching a lot of guys around the league, it's hard not to let that creep into your brain, I guess, even though we don't, you know, it's not black and white. We don't know everything going on right now with CTE and post-football life. But yeah, when you see a guy have multiple concussions, especially with his one, with Luke's, when he was crying on the field, who knows exactly the whole story there, it's really tough to watch, and you just hope to see him out there healthy.
Who'll be crying Saturday afternoon, Michigan or Ohio State fans?
There you go.
I mean, you would imagine Michigan fans are going to be crying a bit. It's tough to I don't know. Michigan, with the quarterback going down, they have a lot of things up against them. They graduated so many guys last season. Harbaugh's had a big test this year. And I think Ohio State, they're going to be ready. I think they're going to come out and play well against Michigan. So I would imagine they get the win.
AJ, thanks for the time this morning. We appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, man. Now, did you see the little boy crying at the Wisconsin-Michigan game?
I did see that, yes.
That was hilarious. Yeah. He was bawling.
I know.
Oh, man. That was after Wisconsin's first touchdown, and he was just bawling his eyes off.
I you got a long time to suffer as a sports fan. It shouldn't start that early.
Shouldn't?
It should not start that early. It really should not. Or at least have it end early then. Like, you can't be doing it for that long of your life to be that upset about
yeah.
it. But it's just tough.
Let it out.
Yeah, I guess so.
Let it out, kid.
I told you I cried after one loss. That was it.
Which loss?
Wait. Two losses.
Which loss?
I'll tell you. Coming up next.
Greg Giannotti, Brian Jones on CBS Sports Radio. Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
First was 1998 NFC Championship game, and that was the loss to the Falcons, you know, the worst one of all time, where they were at least a double-digit favorite in that game. The Gary Anderson missed field goal and losing in overtime, 15-1 team, the whole thing. There was that. The other one was one I already knew my team was going to lose the series, but the way that it happened and the fact that I was there, I left having shed a tear. It wasn't as much as the breakdown that I had after the 98 championship game, but it was 2000 World Series, leaving Shea Stadium, and it was an anger cry.
Oh, man.
I was so angry. Then got out. And then it wasn't like, I think it might have been a tear or two.
So you were how old at that point? You were.
I was old enough not to be crying.
Right. Exactly.
I was 18. I was 16 and 18.
Yeah.
So this is why I said when that little kid, it makes me think, you know, at some point you got to stop.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I hear you.
Because then you turn into me, which just ruins sections of my life. The things I had no control over.
I used to ball when my teams would lose when I was younger. I can't remember. I have shed tears over success of my teams.
What's that feel like?
That's great. But tears over them losing, no. I have not. No.
You just said you did.
No. I mean, when I was a child,
okay,
yes.
Okay, well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but you were 17, 18.
16 and 18.
Yeah. I mean, that's... No, not with them losing, no.
Well, that was my wheelhouse, man.
No. You got to be way over that by then.
And you know what? I was right because I haven't won anything since.
No, you're not. There's no crying when you're 16, 17 on your team losing.
16, game like that.
No. Yeah. No, you just take the pain. No crying.
I took it, and that's the way I dealt with it.
No. You can cry tears of joy, but losing tears, no. Mm-mm.
That's how into it I was.
Well, I understand. I'm into it as well, and I was into it at that age, but there was no crying.
Yeah, but you had experienced some horrible stuff. I had not.
So I repressed my feelings.
No, this is I'm totally being honest about this. Like, because things were going well for me, you know, I was in high school, didn't really have any traumatic experiences. I was an only child. I got a lot of attention. My parents were still together. I had a great friend base. I played sports. It's like the worst thing that was going on for me was that.
Your sports teams. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So I'm dead serious.
I understand. It puts it in perspective, but that's not the reason I wasn't shedding tears at that point about my teams losing.
Well, I think that has something to do with it. It would be like, no. Well, that's not that big of a deal considering
I wish I could have broken it down in that manner, but no. I'd gotten over it. I mean, it still hurt when they lost, but cry, no. It was still painful, but cry, no.
All right. Keep making me feel bad about it, man.
You should.
I mean, I know there's a part of it that's pathetic. Trust me. I understand that.
Yeah. One of these days, you're going to get your championship. One of these days, man.
Well, but at this point, it doesn't mean much. Like
It wouldn't mean much if Minnesota Vikings, this 2017 version of Minnesota Vikings, got to a Super Bowl. That would not mean much to you.
No.
Yes, it would.
It really would. I'm being honest with you, it wouldn't. I tell you the one that would mean more would be the Mets because of my mom, because she cares so much, so I can watch her be happy about it. Now, she only rooted for the Vikings because I did. Mm. So, I mean, that would be cool to see. And that's what I thought I was going to get, and I brought her to a World Series game when they went to the World Series and lost to the Royals, so I brought her to that one.
Right.
You know, I just that would be cool because I grew up going to games with her. She brought me a lot of games when I was younger. So that would, but it wouldn't be for me. You know, and the Vikings thing, I don't know, man. I mean, it would be sure it would be cool if they went to a Super Bowl in Minnesota.
Oh, be real cool.
But I wouldn't. It's just not the same. It just isn't the same. You know how it is, man. Yeah. You get older, it's just not the same.
I would agree. So you wouldn't want to go to that Super Bowl if they made it there and they're playing in their home stadium.
No.
Wow.
No, I'd rather. I even said that when I was into it that I wouldn't want to be there. I'd want to watch it on television.
Okay.
So I could like kind of enjoy the whole experience
All
that
right.
way.
Cool.
So I mean,
I won't have to take you to the Maxim party then.
Well, that's a different thing now.
Oh,
you know?
Go to the Maxim party.
That's
but
a different. That's
game.
A different thing.
Oh, all right.
I don't know. I just think that you get to a point in your life, you celebrate your own accomplishments. Not a bunch of guys that don't know you's accomplishments. Right.
Right.
Like, I just, that's my kind of my take.
Okay. That's you know? Cool.
So if mm-hmm. there's something going on that you're like, you feel good about, you celebrate that. Right. You soak that in.
All right. If they go, we're going to the Maxim party, and maybe I'll end up in the Scientology tent again. Because they're still texting me.
Yeah, I was going to say, can we share that story?
Yeah, why not?
So somehow, Brian, 2 years ago,
ew.
When we went to the Super Bowl in San Francisco, somehow ends up in this Scientology tent. Like, I don't know how or why.
I don't know how either. It's the alcohol's fault.
It must have been.
I'm holding these two cans with a string connecting them.
And then these people in the Scientology tent are still contacting
yeah.
you as of this morning.
Actually, it was a text from last evening.
Yeah.
And I just saw it this morning. Yeah. And I'm looking up this celebrity Sintra. I was like, this is damn Scientology.
Yeah.
Quit texting me.
Right. They must be really, really up against it in recruitment.
Man.
If they're reaching back 2 years to get you.
Exactly. We need to save him.
Maybe they saw the picture on Twitter and like, oh, he's right in our wheelhouse. This is the type of guy that we need. But they probably look. They're so wacky. They probably looked you up and was like, "Oh man, national TV,
mm-hmm.
national radio. This would be great for our brand." That's probably what they're saying.
Who knows what they're saying? I just saw a message from Jenny. Hey, Jenny. Okay.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, right. I met you in Super Bowl at the Maxim party. Oh, okay. I don't recall it, but okay. What's
yeah.
happening, Jenny? Then you look it up, and it's Scientology, folks.
What a buzzkill, huh?
Yeah.
What a buzzkill.
This picture is priceless. That's straight out of Olin Mills.
You're
isn't
looking
it?
At yourself. Look at you.
Oh, that is hilarious.
Well, that now you know what we're seeing. I mean, you just sort of.
Yeah.
You're giving off that vibe, which is remarkable. But, yeah, Scientology, I think, would be good for you.
You think?
Yeah, now I'm thinking
about
it.
Try it out?
Yeah, give it a shot.
I may contemplate it.
You know what they do? They do this thing called auditing, where you sit down with somebody and just spill out everything that's happened
to you. I think that's what they were trying to do to me at the Maxim party.
But watch out, because that's part of the trap.
Oh, yeah?
Because then they have you, and they're like, hey, if you leave us, we're going to tell the world about this, 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 this.
Oh, really?
This. Oh, yeah.
I probably didn't share too much with them when they were auditing me.
I hope
not. I mean, I did a lot of cursing. I recall that.
Oh, they probably didn't like that.
No,
either.
They probably did, but I didn't know I was being audited.
You're being audited. They got you on file. That's why they're still texting you.
That's why they said, lose my number! Go call Tom Cruise.
They already got him. Coming up next. One of my worst predictions unfolding in front of our eyes. Gio and Jones, CBS Sports Radio.